This is RSBNB Update, episode 292, recorded Friday, January 21st, 2011. Latinum and Bradleyum. Hello, everybody. Welcome back once again for another episode of our RSBNB Update. Chiefy Snake is here this week.
Yay! It's good to be back.
Yes. You didn't get a snake bite or anything when you were out and about last night?
No, we weren't really out and about. We were inside.
So. Oh, that's good. Okay. And you probably don't have any snakes in New Zealand, do you?
No, we don't. Does help.
All right. So that's what he's been doing. I've been killing this thing on RuneScape called the Hattie Wolf, which is the seasonal content. So we're going to start off by talking about that. So it should be first noted that this is seasonal content, meaning it will be removed shortly. They said it will be removed on February 14th, that is Valentine's Day, because this is a wolf of Norse mythology, and loosely translated, it translates to the winter wolf. So basically, it's a semi-small group activity that you can go kill and get some nice rewards from it. So, I don't know. What do you want to know about it?
I don't really need to know anything at all, but the winter wolf, that's a bit arbitrary considering it's only winter in half of the world.
Yeah, that's true. But
that's
really,
does,
it never really feels like winter in the southern hemisphere because there's not enough land to have any Arctic air masses,
not.
You know? So, but in any case, it is level 654, I believe, if I remember my number correctly. So even though it's such a high level, it's not that bad. Not bad at all.
No, I mean, what gives it its high level? Because it looks very easy.
I'm not entirely sure. Probably the hit points. It has something like 30,000 life points. So I would assume that that's where that comes from. Its attacks weren't that strong. It's probably around the same level as the Calphite Queen in terms of what the melee hit can be. The magic hit is significantly less powerful, I felt. I only saw it hit that once, but I guess I was fairly close to it. The preferred strategy would be just to go and melee the thing because, well, the melee protect from melee prayer works pretty well against it. And suffice to say, at level 96 constitution, 960 life points, I only had to eat two rocktail.
Can it hit through prayer?
Yeah, but not that bad. You know, it can, but it's not going to damage you as if you had no prayer on whatsoever. So the prayer definitely does help.
Yep.
The magic attack, though, attacks from a distance, so it makes it nice and easy to find. So you just roam the area, and then it will fire a magic attack at you. I think that's the first time I ate one, because it hit something, I think, like, 23 or 24 on me? Something like that.
Oh, okay. It seems a bit dangerous. I mean, if you're just not expecting to see it there. Or, I mean, I guess you would have had to talk. Don't you have to talk to the some person?
No, you don't have to talk to the person to enable it. It's just roving.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
No, oh, because I thought I'd done that. Because I was in the area. I was doing a quest, actually. I was on my way to do Olaf's quest, really old quest that I just had never really done. And it was in my list, so I thought, I'll do that. And I went over to Relica, and I forgot that they just introduced the Hattie Wolf. And I actually went right past it. I saw some people fighting it. So I was like, if I hadn't been prepared for that, or if no one was there, that could have been...
Well, that's not too bad, you know?
No. Well, from what you've said, and from what I've seen, it does look very weak.
Okay.
Given its level.
I just looked it up. It can hit, apparently, 367 magic and 244 melee. So I'm guessing the magic one is only from afar. So you really don't have to worry about that if you're meleeing it. So that kind of negates that attack. So Just Maliet, use your curses, whatever you normally do, and you will have no problem. As usual, I overprepared. I thought I was going in to fight Nomad again. I took a full inventory of rocktails and a tortoise as well. That was a big waste of money. But, you know, I'm kind of paranoid about those things, seeing as I said last week, any God Wars boss I've went to in the past, I've died when I went there first. Yes. So I'd like to be prepared.
Fair enough. But didn't you read anything about it?
Yeah, I did, but you know, I don't know. I just, I don't know. 20,000 life points. Okay, that's what it has. I was right on level 654. So,
yep.
Yeah, I did read about it, but you know, I don't know. I just don't trust what people write because you know, there's always a potential that someone would want to screw other people out of their like armor or food, you know, and kind of maybe want to do that so they can make a bit of a profit on the Ceridoman brews, which I didn't take.
Okay. So. Oh, that's good.
But anyways, once you fight it, it has a fairly high drop rate. We got it on the first go of dropping the wolf head, the paws, and wolf bones, which are always going to be dropped because it's a wolf.
On the first go, so does it drop both at once?
Both at once for everybody in the group. So we both caught it.
Oh, so, wow. For everyone at once.
The wolf head is decorative, kind of the same way that, you know, those wolf masks are, which kind of confused me. Why would they bring this out for a holiday event when there's already a treasure trail item that has the wolf mask, you know? Didn't you have one of those at one point?
Yeah, I did, because I actually got it from a treasure trail. It does look different, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And similar idea, but...
It's bigger. It's like a full head, you know? Yeah. So, which is kind of funny, because the past weekend I went to go see the movie called True Grit, and there was this guy in there wearing a bear's head that was hollowed out, just like the wolf head here, but more on that later.
You know, there is an actual bear head in RuneScape.
Yeah, I do. I have it. But it doesn't look that real.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think they could make both these look more real if they had, like, blood dripping down your chest and stuff.
Oh, God. No, but you'd probably clean that up if you were to wear it.
Otherwise, well, it is the ancient times, you know, and I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure you'd still clean it up.
You think?
Especially you're a level 100 and... What are you, 130?
Yeah.
I think you have the skill to be able to clean some blood off whatever you've just killed.
Yeah, you know, I guess, but why not have that in there, you know? Like, it's a head, of course. You would leave something like that to the taxidermist to clean it up, right?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Another thing, why can't we mount this in our
why can't we mount this in our player own house or something?
Is it, you know, it would make more sense to have
they
it mountable
do
there.
Things.
Yeah.
Like while we're on the topic.
Like mount the bear head too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's just a slight observation there. And this is another monster that has a voiceover to it.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, I couldn't understand what it was saying though over the sound of
it is a wolf.
Over the wolf sound and my weapon and armor. So it was kind of hard to understand, but apparently it's not English.
Oh.
Jagex said that you will want to check out the... Let's see, which forums did they say? I don't know. But
Norwegian?
Yeah, that's it. The Norwegian forum.
Oh, really? That was a guess.
I think that's right. I thought you were reading it, so I just assumed had it right.
Oh, okay. No, that was...
English Scandinavian.
Oh.
Well, close enough. Scandinavian is the entire country grouping up there, you know? The Scandinavian countries. But anyways, aside from that, the combat bonus on the gloves is apparently, you know, they said it was like going to be like bonus XP weekend, but nobody's really sure exactly at what rate it decreases, so... I don't know on this. I haven't used them yet. So if anybody out there has used them and has some data, that would be interesting to see, and maybe we could work out a formula or something on that.
Yeah, it's No one knows yet. And
reward you with double XP that you gain from skills, including attack, constitution, defense, magic, ranged, and strength while in combat. There is a time limit, but the limit is determined by those levels in your combat skill. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, and it is only for combat too, isn't it?
Yes.
That's right.
So no summoning, sadly.
That sucks.
And prayer.
That's actually fairly useless to me then, because I don't care that much about combat. No Slayer?
Nope. You know, I think I would use these to even out my strength with my other combat skills, because the strength is kind of very low compared to everything else.
Yeah, that'd be handy. Mine are all even at the moment. I just got 90 defense, so they're all 90.
I'm just trying to think what your combat level is.
125.
Okay, that makes sense then. Is there anything else about this? I don't think we missed anything.
I don't really think there's a lot more. It's seasonal. It will be going away on the 14th of February.
Yes, and you have until May 10th to use up the reward.
Yep.
And of course, if you lose these, you can go back to Diango and Drainer Village to pick them up.
Yeah, it's really weird tying in like a seasonal event kind of item with an actual playable part of the game. I don't know. Well, it's a new thing for Jagex. So
I think that's a good way of doing it.
It is good.
But you know, maybe this is something we could look at in the future for ways of improving the Christmas events. Because quite frankly,
They could add additional material, additional stuff for high-level players.
Because quite frankly, the Christmas events have been pretty sad since 2005, I believe. So
yeah.
Anyways.
Interesting. Yeah, I would really like to see something like that introduced.
I'm going to have to give this rating 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I'll probably have to say the same thing. I'll get a 3 for me as well, even though I haven't done it.
Alrighty then, let us move on to some tweaks and fixes. This week, players who have played a lot of Fish Flingers contests may have found that their career totals wouldn't change. This has now been altered to give a greater degree of accuracy when determining career totals. So I'm guessing...
no one would have noticed that because no one plays it anyway, right?
Yeah, I don't know anybody that plays it.
No one at all.
But there might be some diehard people, I guess, that finally got their complaint lodged about this, because that would be kind of bad, I guess, if you were...
There are some weird people out there.
Artificial cap or something, you know? So. Compost bins have been given a handy empty option for quickly gathering multiple buckets of compost.
Oh, okay. Good. I actually thought that meant that you could, empty what was in the compost bin.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that
that would be handy as well, because...
Yeah, that would be handy, because I got bins from when I started farming that have, like, a few weeds in it or something. And it's
really?
Completely useless of regular compost stuff.
I just find it annoying when you have occasions when you accidentally add something that's not a super compost item, and then it fills it up, and you have to keep filling it with regular stuff. Because if you
add
a super compost item, then it only makes it normal compost anyway, so...
Which is quite sad, because everybody should be using super compost for their crops, because it increases yield and prevents them from dying as much. That's your farming tip of the day. And the gate to the Falador farming patch has been permanently opened to allow easier travel.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I know, that was pretty hard, wasn't it? Always have an
yay, farming updates.
Little ones.
Just that's a very actual, I mean, that's a very niche update. Just the opening a gate to allow easier travel.
I think the Fish Flingers update is more niche than that.
It is. It is true. But opening a gate just for ease of travel?
At least we know they're dedicated to farming.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Jagex.
Yes. Alrighty, I didn't put the release notes in because there's not much that, there wasn't much interesting in the release notes this week, nothing really that's shocking, so they're not here, but You can read those on the forums if you want to. So, anyways, now on to the next piece of big news. The
More
wilderness
interesting stuff.
And free trade will return on February 1st.
Shocking as that is.
Yeah, you know.
Could never have expected that.
We received an incredible 1.2 million votes with a united 91% of you voting for the restoration of free trade in the wilderness. We have heard your call and will be restoring these features, these much-loved features to RuneScape on Tuesday, 1st February. The clock is ticking. You have just 2 weeks to get ready for this monumental update. To help you prepare, we will be releasing a series of guides and FAQs and expert advice about the wilderness and free trade so that both players, old and new, can get ready for this epic release. There's just one question left unanswered. Are you ready?
I'm actually getting publicity.
I'm actually getting kind of scared now.
I know, actually. Same with me. It's very weird how the closer it is to approaching, how much I'm realizing that this is going to suck when it's released.
Yeah, you know,
I don't want to change from how things are now.
You know, I'm still concerned about how the free trade and stuff will work. I'm going to try and get my question in when the topic opens up to post them on Saturday in the live FAQ they're having. Because, quite frankly, I want to know whether or not player trades will affect the GE. Because if they don't, that is going to be... We're not going to recover from that. So.
Interesting. I'm actually less concerned about that at the moment and more concerned about the PvP aspect of it, the wilderness aspect. And gravestones, actually.
Well, they'll continue to function as they would in the real world.
Yes, except after your gravestone crumbles, if it's not been repaired or blessed or something, everyone can now take your items.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Which is actually fantastic. That's good. Except it is kind of scary coming back from where, you know, if you died and people were around you, someone would bless your gravestone, pretty much guaranteed. Whereas nowadays... I mean, with the introduction of this, no one's going to want to bless your gravestone if there is a possibility of receiving fantastic items after you die. So
it I never bless gravestones in the beginning anyway.
Yeah, but you're a dick. So this could be potentially, quite disruptive to regular gameplay, or gameplay as we know it now. It won't be much different to...
Oh, I don't know. I think six minutes
I think it will all be fantastic. And with all the whole wilderness thing coming back, it adds an element of challenge back to the game that we haven't seen in a long time. And I'm really looking forward to that. But at the same time, I'm dreading it because I don't want to have to go through all this stuff.
Yeah, you know...
It's good, but it's going to suck.
Yeah. Well, we're moving on, kind of. We're all in the same kind of general area here. They, along with the FAQ they released today, kind of to make you feel a bit better about that, they said that one thing they will be doing is, in regards to the wilderness and clue scrolls, you will not be sent to the wilderness as often.
Yeah, I saw that too. I pretty much read the whole thing this morning.
Okay.
That whole FAQ.
So that's okay. Another thing is they're going to have price guides on the GE of what they're at. So, you know, that we can actually maybe use the GE now for some actual kind of trading rather than...
And it says that the price indexes will change by about 5% maximum each day.
Yeah, that's what they do now.
Yeah. So we'll essentially...
Pretty much the same in terms of... That, but you know, it needs to take into account whether or not people are trading the item outside of the GE. This is what caused the 1929 stock market crash and the Great Depression. People buying stuff, not officially buying mass stuff, and it not officially being counted. And then people thought they had all this good stuff, then, oh no, you don't. We're all poor now. So
I'm not sure. I don't think it'll make that much.
That's why I'm so scared about this update, primarily.
Because you'll be able to pay anything for the items on the GE.
Yeah, I mean, but still, you know, it's still a very scary idea of having dual economies and not knowing which one is going to come out in the end and be the main one. What if the GE in 6 months down the line is completely useless?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but it's almost not possible. Because the GE is amazing. It's infinitely more convenient than trading with other players.
Yeah, I mean, but two economies, that's not right. Look what happened to Russia with two economies. The USSR broke up. Well, not just because of that, but... Anyways.
Okay, sure. We'll see.
There's other things in the FAQ. Can I give gifts to my friends like now, like a million, if I wanted to? Yes, indeed.
Yay!
They talked about scamming, and that's going to pretty much be the same way things as were before, so watch out for item scams again. You guys had better... do that. The price checker will be there. It'll use the GE index party rooms. Hopefully player-owned party rooms in the future.
That's good. Oh, you know the other thing I realized? just literally today I realized that because the wilderness is coming back, you'll be able to attack more or less anyone as long as you're within the right range. I would now have a problem following you into the wilderness. Or, you know, doing group events, RSBNB events in the wilderness or something like that, I would not be comfortable around certain people.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Especially
that's a
you.
Very good point.
I think it would be
oh,
quite
no, I
possible.
Would never attack you.
I highly doubt that.
I've only ever killed, like, two people in the wilderness.
To attack me.
No, I'd rather attack the other Brad.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I wouldn't attack
you. It sounds like something that you would do.
No, I'd only attack people that are annoying or ones that I don't like. So. Anything else about the FAQ we want to talk about?
No, that's about it, really. I think. I mean, you can pretty much read it for yourself. And it explains quite a lot.
They're also doing a competition for... Wilderness Top Tip, so if you're a seasoned veteran, you can apparently enter this in and, you know, get your tips before Monday, January 24th, and full competition details and prizes and whatnot in their competition thread. So, let's see what we got for rewards. Prizes. Person behind in each tip in our video will receive 6 months of RuneScape membership plus a mystery prize.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah. My wilderness tip is run away, run away.
That's good. Very original.
Yeah. That's the first thing you should do if you ever get into trouble is just to run away. All right. So now we were talking the other night about how this was going to be planned from December or whenever this was posted, regardless of the outcome. Initially we said because, you know, getting such an update out over the Christmas break and you basically have 2 weeks development time in January, 1 week QA and 1 week testing to get it out, right? And that's not enough time for what they're talking about, like moving quests, you know?
Yeah, that's nowhere near enough time.
The
this
gamer's grotto or
update.
Whatever it is. You know, there are things that are going to have to be created for this, and that can't be done in a month's time. So, and you know, they wouldn't invest this kind of money and employee hours into it if it was not going to happen. So I really think that it was going to happen regardless of the outcome. And another thing with this,
I don't think it's necessarily regardless of the outcome, not completely, because if the outcome was negative, then they couldn't do it. But
I don't know. I think they would have been able to with a simple majority, probably, given how many votes they got, you know, and how quick they got
them
in the first round.
Of course. Yeah, but the fact is, I think they knew that to start with, and that's the only reason why they ran the poll. But yeah, if it's just the fact that they had it made sort of from the beginning, which was the only reason that they would have done that.
I brought the wilderness back. A T-shirt, $13. Would you wear one of these?
No way. I mean, the very fact that they have released those T-shirts and things like it's just a massive publicity stunt, and they just want to bring attention to the fact that they're listening to the players finally. And
So
it's all a little bit corrupt looking, really. But
and they also got a hat too with the old skull you get whenever you would attack someone. It's all pixelated and stuff too.
Yeah.
Would you wear one of those?
No.
Oh. Yeah, you know, it's a skull. I probably wouldn't wear one either. So. So. Anyways, that's another reason why, but I don't know. As we were saying, it is pretty scary thinking about it and the repercussions of it, because we're still kind of in the dark about the economic side, and that's really what's scaring me at this point. And everybody I've talked to who was around for the first wilderness doesn't want it back. The only people I found that do want it back and are completely ecstatic about it are people who don't know what it was like before, or are just too wound up in the emotion of bringing the old wilderness back. So,
yeah,
I think
it's kind
there
of one
is
of
something
those,
about that. You
peer
know,
mentality or, things.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll wait and see about how this works, but I don't know. I'm going to have to hold my breath on this one, and we'll just have to wait and see how it all goes.
I don't know. I think it'll be quite good in the long run. I'm sort of looking forward to it and, yeah, dreading it, as I said, basically.
Just imagine going to do a clue.
I know. It'll suck so much, but...
You want me to come with you?
No, I'm okay. You'd attack me.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you would.
No. Alrighty,
although
then
that could be
for...
a good tactic, if you managed to attack me before anyone else could. Single combat zone. Hey.
Yeah, that would be, but then they'd probably be able to attack me as well, and you know.
Oh, possibly.
But anyways, that's it for RuneScape updates. Let us move on now to some questions. We got three audio questions this week. The first one is from a fellow named Aiden.
Hey guys, I want to ask you a really quick question. Which gods for do you think is the best and why? On my current account, I have the AGS, but I'm thinking about selling it. Do you think I should keep it? If not, which gods should I buy? Okay, thanks.
Well, I think the answer to this one depends on what you want to do with it.
Yeah, that's right, I guess. I mean, player versus monster or PvP or...
Yeah, I think if you're going PvP, you'd probably want to keep it as Armadyl. If you were just going for general combat, I would say Saradomin if you can afford it, if not Bandos. And
yeah,
if you're going to fight specific boss monsters where it could benefit, you might want Zamorak since it has the freezing special. I forget which boss that's good for.
Saradomin.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right. I had to go borrow a Saradomin Godsword last time we went to... I mean, a Zamorak Godsword last time we went to Saradomin so I could be the person that would freeze the thing.
It's kind of only good if you've got a decent team that... Yeah, I don't know. If you know what you're doing, then you don't really need it. Anyway. Yeah, I echo what Shane said, basically. I mean, if you're going PVM, then a Saradomin Godsword is probably a lot more useful than an Armadyl Godsword. And even... Yeah, I mean, most people probably know what I think of Armadyl Godswords already. I think they're pretty overrated, and you might as well sort of buy a Bandos Godsword and then other equipment besides that you can use, when you're not using it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's
you
can a good point,
a Band of Scored Sword and a Dragonfire Shield and a weapon for less than the price of an Armored of God Sword itself. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, yeah, but if you are going to sell it, then, yeah, Band of Scored Sword, and you will have a lot more money left over for other things. Or a Saradom and God Sword. It's...
Alrighty then. I think that pretty much covers that. Thank you. Next one is from a guy named Kapoof.
Dear Shane and Chief, you log in one day to do your much-loved farming runs, and much to your surprise, you see that your account is permanently banned for inappropriate language. Guess the Jagex mods don't really like Star Trek. Your appeal is denied, and you've lost your account that you've worked on for a huge chunk of your life. What do? Would you quit? Make a new account? Maybe even a peer of some sort? You guys run a RuneScape fan site. You'd have to give that all up if you quit. Thanks a lot.
So, well, what would you do?
Oh, I think this is pretty much you, Shane. I mean, I could never get banned for offensive language. I can see this very vividly.
Ah, yes. RuneScape
is not Starcraft. Someone insulting
you for liking
Star Trek, and you would just troll-a-la-la-la them completely.
Yeah. But no, in the event that that were to happen, I would try and get the account back. And if that was non-successful, I don't know. I've always wanted to get 99 farming again, so I suppose I would do that again. Do it differently.
Yeah, actually, me too. I mean, I probably would just give up and start a new account. As much as I love Chief Snake, I mean, if it got banned, who cares? There's not a lot you can do. And nowadays, you can get it back after a year anyway, so that'd be fine.
Oh, yeah,
I would start
right.
a new account and get 99 farming. I want to make a farming pure. I really do. Except it seems a bit of a waste while I've got Chief Snake, so.
Yeah, that's true, you know, like, it's a question of I don't train much as it is, and I don't think I would have time for both. So that's why I haven't done that. As it is right now, I've only reached level 82 Hunter. I'm currently going for 85, and then maybe 91, but that seems kind of a waste. When it's just for impling, so I don't know. But I don't know. Hunter is, it's kind of, there's no real use for it aside from catching the odd impling, so... But that's what I've.
Yeah, it's just handy though when it does come up. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's why. That's why I wanted 91 for the Kingly impling. Mm. So,
I think 91 is a bit high. You kind of only need 83.
You think? But I want one of those crowns, and I don't want to pay for it.
But they're so rare.
They are.
You have a Santa hat anyway.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. I wore my wolf's head since I killed the wolf there. I've been wearing that around.
Do you know, I discovered the other day that I have in my PlayerUnknown's house chest thing, Trish Shale's rewards chest. I have a black cavalier in there, just sitting there.
Yeah.
I have a pirate's head.
Oh. I have a black cav and a tan one. Both of them from Glue Scrolls.
They look very cliche when you wear them, though, so I put it straight back.
I should try on a beret again, because I used to wear one of those.
Yeah, that's right.
RuneScape
no one wears those these days.
And I don't know what they look like anymore. I should pull them out.
Good idea. I'm going to do that.
I got Pika's blue beret still. He never took it back from me. So I got one of each. The blue one is his. And the white one is from the person who died while they were cutting magics, and I took it.
White berets are 380k. Quite expensive. Blue berets are 90k. Black,
yeah,
220.
You know what a blue beret means here?
No.
If you're on a foreign mission, it means you're a peacekeeper.
Oh, okay. I should get one of those.
Peacekeepers wear blue berets.
I'm a peacekeeper. That's my new forum avatar.
Really?
Blue beret. Yep.
Okay. I wish I got off topic there, but thank you, Kaboo, for that question.
Where did that come from?
Next audio question is from Papero.
Hey, guys. Here's a scenario. You have the ability to add any type of new mining ore into the game. What would it be called? What color would it be? Where would it be mined? And what mining level would be required to mine it? This ore is also smeltable, but it can only be smelted in one specific furnace throughout all of RuneScape. Which furnace would you choose, and what smithing level would be required to smelt it? Lastly, it can be transformed into a new, unique type of weapon or piece of armor. What would it be, and what stats would it have? Thanks, and keep up the good work.
Alrighty, another creative type question. Do you want to go first, or should I?
No, you go first. You actually have an answer to this, so then I'll add my feedback.
Alrighty. I would base it around Star Trek, because I think that RuneScape needs
God.
More Star Trek
references. That was a bad idea. You didn't tell me that before. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we got the Enlightened Journey Captain Picard quest, so why don't we have another one? So my ore would be Latinum. It's from Star Trek, and it comes in silver and gold forms, so it becomes either silver or gold, and then when you get that, you make it into dust, and then you can make it into the brick as would be expected when you smelt it, you know. And in order to smelt it, you would have to go to the forge where you put together the dragon plate body after Wolgothic sleeps, the dragon forge.
Mm-hmm.
And then in order to do that, of course, you'd be able to make weapons and armor from it. And it would probably have stats somewhere between in between Barrows and God Wars. And if you were to make a weapon of it, it would be poisonous, kind of. Well, not poisonous. I mean, wouldn't be poisonous. It would. The residue from it would leave a kind of a anticoagulant in the wound, so the person would keep losing health after the initial blow, and you would not be able to cure it unless you went to go see the Surgeon General at the Alcara Duel Arena.
That's actually quite cool. Not being able to cure it unless you go and see something. That's a good idea. The rest of it, I think, is ridiculous. Purely because it's Star Trek related. I wasn't listening to most of that. However, I have just set my forum profile avatar as a blue beret. You will be pleased to know.
Okay, so your idea now?
So my idea. I didn't really have a lot of uniqueness to add, but I did, while I was doing the Defender of Varric quest, I did come across this the Sacred Forge, which is underground at the top of the Ice Mountain. Yes, that place. And the Sacred Forge is a place that you have to... Actually, I forget what you do with it. You have to stoke it with Blue-Rite, and then some dwarf, Imkando dwarf, like, enchants it. Something like that. Anyway, I completely forget what you actually do with it. But so my idea is, with whatever this ore is, because I don't really care. I have no new ideas for this. Whatever this ore is, it would have to be high level, obviously. And you take it to this sacred forge. And then you get the Imkando dwarf called Romano to enchant it for you or something like that. And it smiths it, smelts it. And then... from there I have no idea.
Okay. What level?
So that's... I don't know.
80s? 90s?
I don't know. It would have to be quite high. Maybe this is for something that you can... Say smithing could go above level 99. Ooh.
Oh yeah, that's what I was going to say for mine.
Because it probably should, to even out smithing. Even out the skill.
Level 102 for mine.
Okay, that's quite specific.
Yeah.
Although just to smelt it, yeah. You don't usually need a very high level for smelting. Hmm.
And what would you name it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have a name for it.
New Zealandium?
That is just silly, Shane.
Bradleyum?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Because that is no less silly than... Yeah, never mind.
But there's no element named Bradleyham, so it would make sense.
Okay. Wouldn't it make more sense to call it Christensenium?
Christensenium?
Yeah, because usually it would be named after your last name.
Oh!
Wow.
I totally missed that.
Anyway.
And are you sure you want people knowing your last name?
Yeah.
Okay.
My last name is fully public.
Okay, if you say so. Alrighty then.
It's like
thank
Woody.
You, Pap Harrell. Good question there. Yeah. So is Woody. Oh, if only he could be here to fight back sometimes, you know?
Give the poor guy a chance.
Anyways, thank you there. Moving on to the next question from Ben. I am looking for a way that I can train cooking and make a profit. I'm currently cooking trout, which gives me 70 XP and 2 GP. Is there a better option? Of course there's a better option, Ben. Of course there is.
I suppose if I don't know anything about cooking. I hate cooking, but there must be something better than trout.
It depends if you want to
You could make a slight loss or something, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could. It depends if you're buying the fish or fishing it yourself. Because let me just look up monkfish right now. Because any fish you fish yourself, you're going to make profit from. Monkfish is good if you have the level. So is lobster and so is shark and rocktail. Those are the staples. Yeah. See, you would lose 12 GP if you were to... buy the raw monkfish and cook it, so I doubt you want to do that.
Yeah, it's a very small loss, isn't it, nowadays? I mean, there are even times when, I think with sharks especially, like the price of cooked sharks is actually higher than raw. I don't know if that's common these days.
Cooked
but I'm
shark,
sure
$12.46, raw shark, $11.41.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So you can make profit cooking sharks. So you can make profit getting 99 cooking. I should do that.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is. Holy shit.
When do you stop burning sharks though? Is that like 90s? Oh no, wait.
I forget about that. I'd forget what it is with the cooking gauntlets. I don't think you stop
with gauntlets or something. It's quite high.
I don't think
you stop
if you are not using gauntlets. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is higher than they used to be back in the day. Back
still
in the day,
surprised that it's possible with the number of people who have 99 cooking.
Well, you know, I think part of the problem is that we got bots still that go fishing.
True.
So they're providing a way for the fishing or the cooking people to do this. So
you'd think you'd have the same number of bots who would do the cooking or something, though, wouldn't you? Or oh no,
maybe I don't know.
They don't make that much money out of it, but
bots are still a problem, whether you like it or not. So, yeah. But really, if you could make profit buying the sharks, not monkfish. Let's see about lobster. Lobster's $191, $197. You can make 6 GP per.
Oh, that's
what
about
that's
swordfish?
Great,
because
though.
Swordfish is the free one,
the best free to play food.
Yeah.
$3.94 cooked, $3.92 raw, so 2 GP there, not really.
Oh, yeah, very small. That's gone down. That used to be over 500.
It's looking like the best choice is going to be a shark if you're wanting to do that, if you're wanting to buy and do that. But if you're just fishing on your own, go for lobster, swordfish, shark, or rocktail, depending on your level.
Yeah, I think the lesson here is, though, that more or less in any case, you're barely going to lose anything, if at all. So
rocktail,
you don't really need to be worrying about... Oh, yeah.
Cooked rocktail, $21.65. So that would be the best one if you're just shooting to cook for profit there. Shark is still the best. So, yeah, there's lots of choices for that.
Yeah, so do not limit yourself to trout, because that's not going to give you much XP at all.
That is right. Next one.
Dear Shane and Chief, I would like to get 94 Mage, and I was thinking of using Ice Burst on the Ogres in the Chaos Dwarf battlefield. In doing this, I'm hoping that I would kill them maybe 5 times faster and make money off of it. What do you think, and what other tips do you have? Thanks, Optimaniac. Shane, do you know anything about the Dwarf Battlefield, Chaos Dwarf Battlefield?
I have not done that specifically question. In that case, but I do know that using Ice Burst or Ice Barrage is going to be kind of expensive. It's going to also require you to focus on what you're doing, whereas the mindless training, elking, or stringing jewelry does not require you to have that much focus.
Yeah, I was elking this morning, but elking is amazingly boring.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, even if you're doing something else, it's too boring. Anyway,
I did string jewelry to 99 from 90. That was a nice way of doing it.
Yeah.
I forget how much it cost, but it wasn't really that bad. What was it? I think it was around 14 mil or something, if you count everything in. Because you get the amulets and then you sell them back to the rogue trader, providing you've done the two summers quests, and then that kind of negates the price of those, and then you just pay for your astral runes and mudstaff. So, but you know, if you're gonna do ice bursting, and depending on your other combat levels, or maybe even ice barraging, I don't know. Soul Wars, Castle Wars, those are good places to do those kind of things if that's the method you want to go with. Also, if you're feeling a little bit more hardened, you could go into the Dagonoth dungeon there, Waterbirth Island, and Ice Burst Rock Lobsters. And in doing that, you would also collect summoning charms for whatever you decide to train summoning, which is a good idea, but it's also more dangerous.
I would. Because, I mean, obviously you're going to have to spend a lot of money, but I did this once, and it is quite difficult to stay there for long periods of time just because it gets so boring, but that may also just be me. It's good. It's quite good for magic XP, not amazing, but it gets you a little bit more than you would regularly, and it also gets you charms. And if you are into summoning, then you're going to have to get those charms at some point anyway, and so why not get them quite quickly by that method?
Yeah, and everybody knows Crimson Charms are the best value ones to use, so.
Yep.
In most cases. I think we've covered that one. Moving on to the next one is from Thousand Foot Crutch, a.k.a. Chris. Hey, Shane and Chief. I recently just joined the website, and I've been listening to the podcast for quite a while. Shane, I saw that you like 24, and I was wondering what you thought of the last season. I loved it and thought it was one of the best, especially the episode where Jack Bauer had the mask on and was shooting up the limo with Charles Logan in it. Classic. Also, I absolutely hate quests on RuneScape. I don't know what it is, but I just don't like doing them. I was wondering if you guys knew any quests that were more fun to do. Any suggestions would greatly be appreciated. Thanks. You want me to talk about 24 first, or should we talk about quests first?
You can do 24 first.
Okay. I thought Season 8 was good. I also thought Season 7 was good. My favorite would have to be Season 3, if you've watched that far back. But, I was surprised in that episode you were talking about that he didn't finish what he started in Season 5. Because for anybody who doesn't know, Charles Logan was a president of the U.S., but he orchestrated an assassination plot of the former president, and he also was in charge of enabling, or he was a part of a greater conspiracy in the government to allow terrorist attacks to happen on the U.S., and assassinating the former president. So they got him for that in the end, but that's why I was kind of surprised he didn't finish what he started there. So, and you know, it's only in 24 that a president can arrange to assassinate someone, right? So, and he was successful.
We should hope
so. Yeah. You know, I should watch Season 5 again. I just remember that main part of it. I forget what else there was to it.
No, you have other things to watch first.
Like?
Prison Break.
Okay.
Good but, boy.
Yeah, so I quite enjoyed that. Anyways, quests.
Quests? Yeah, well, you've done all the quests. I've actually recently been doing quests, so I can sort of chip in on this one, but do you have anything off the top of your head?
Enlightened Journey.
Oh, God. But for people who are not interested in Star Trek?
I've always enjoyed the Elf Quest, starting with Plague City and Biohazard, partly because it opens up the new area, you know? And, you know, it just gives you... It's a pretty in-depth storyline, and it's one of the best storylines in RuneScape. Even I'd say it's better than the Desert Zaros one, because it's not so out there. We're still kind of not sure what's happening, and it kind of leaves you on the edge. That's why I like that one the best.
Yeah, so. That's right. Except for the Morning's End's parts. Those are boring. Or at least Morning's End's Part 2 is horrible.
Really? I quite like that one.
Yeah. It's probably worth doing just to, you know, finish up the storyline, but it's just one massive puzzle.
Yeah, so what was wrong with that?
It gets tedious. It gets tedious after, like, the first part of it, and then there are heaps of parts to go.
What else could there be for
more
quests?
Or less all.
I don't know. There's lots of little quests that are useful, too, for little things. Tears of Gothics, the Kingdom quest, so you can do Kingdom management. There's also the quest that enables, what am I looking for? It enables another activity.
Activity?
Just in general, they can enable certain activities, you know? For instance, there's this one quest sequel to the first runecrafting quest that enables the Great Orb Project.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah. I didn't remember
you know, that's kind of the interesting thing there with quests. You know, they enable things and they're good to do. And, you know, you don't have to do it all in one shot. I think that's the thing you want to remember is we're kind of enthusiasts in that is we sit down to do a quest and do it in one shot. You don't have to do it that way. You don't have to do a guide. Just start a quest and do parts of it as you're in the area or whatever, you know. So... I think that's
well, I suppose
a good way
so,
to do
yeah.
quests.
Actually,
but,
that's an interesting way
you know,
to think
I've
of
never
it.
Done a quest like that, but I hear
no, neither have I, not really.
Yeah, like I sit down and do it all at once, which makes sense. Most people I know do things like that, but there are other ways of doing them.
Yeah.
I don't know. So.
Yeah, I don't really think we can offer you any that are more... specifically more fun because all of RuneScape's quests are kind of similar.
Yeah, that's true.
They're sort of linear in their plot lines and what you have
to do. Oh, but they're more in-depth than Star Trek Online quests.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. And then you can work up to a Grandmaster quest and, yeah. Oh, and I remember what happened, why they were wanting to let the Russians use the U.S. nerve gas on U.S. soil in that season. They wanted to do that so the U.S. could invade this certain area of Russia to get access to new reserves of oil.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you like that kind of thing, you should check out 24. You can get the full box set now of all 8 seasons.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Chris. Glad you like the show. I'm glad you like 24. And I hope you can enjoy this new perspective on quests. Next one, Chief.
Thank you, Chris. Dear Shane and Chief Snake, first off, Shane, I'm sure many have wondered this, but if you had to choose one or the other, Kirk or Picard, and for both of you, do you believe in any conspiracies like the Phantom Time Theory? Thanks, and keep it up from Knack. All right, Shane, Kirk or Picard? You don't have to explain, just one or the other.
Picard.
Okay. And do we believe in any conspiracies like the Phantom Time Theory?
I wasn't done.
I know.
Picard, because he's more methodical
do we believe
rather than just
in
going into blow things up.
Like the Phantom Time Theory?
No, because most conspiracy theories have obvious holes in them, and conspiracy theories tend to appear when you have too much time on your hand and you have this amount of information and you just all put it together in one way or another. So I don't believe in them.
What is the phantom time theory?
The phantom time theory, I looked this up because I'd never heard of it, but it is a conspiracy theory that says certain areas in our past, like the Dark Ages and Crusades and whatnot, in the first millennium, were fabricated as a part of our history.
Ah, okay.
So.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a bit deep.
Yeah, there are, of course, other ones like the moon landing being faked. John F. Kennedy was a frame job by the U.S. government or somebody else. September 11th was planned by the U.S. government. Yeah, right.
Things like the moon landing, I've seen that on TV a couple of times, ages ago now. But to think of that, I mean, even if it were possible that it were fabricated, then what difference does it make? Because clearly, I mean, we launch rockets all the time nowadays, and, well, not literally considering, yeah. But, I mean, even if it were fabricated, it probably would have been achieved not long after that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Because even, you know, people like Russia have sent probes and stuff to the moon, so if the U.S. hadn't gone first, clearly somebody else would have, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're going to see another moon race in sometime 2015 to 2025 or so, and I'm hoping the U.S. realizes that, you know, they have to keep ahead in this position and not be so worried about the budget cuts at NASA rather than who knows what. So this is why you should vote for somebody other than Obama in 2012, providing he's not running against Sarah Palin. Then in that case, by all means, vote for Obama.
Does the U.S. have to be on top all the time, though?
Yes, they do, because you can't let somebody else like China or India become the leading superpower.
It doesn't mean they'll be the leading superpower.
Yeah, they will. If they have the space advantage, they have the economic advantage, they have the population advantage.
Well, who's to say that the U.S. is the be-all and end-all of superpowers, though?
Well, in terms of space exploration, they are right now.
Okay. Anyway, that's slightly off topic. Thank you, Nick.
And this goes back to our first episode of the year about banging on the U.S. See, I just praised the U.S. there.
Okay.
Last question now.
I'll give you that one. Sort of surprised me. Last question.
From Italy for Life. Dear Shane and Chief Snake, what moment in your education system is the most vivid, whether bad or good, such as doing something or accomplishing something that was harmful and you have not forgotten?
Do you have anything for this one?
Oh, well, you can put the usual things in there, like finishing high school, finishing university, even though that's not official yet, pending no administration failures, which has happened before. Cross your fingers. Anything? I didn't really have anything bad in my education system aside from maybe a university advisor messing up. I had a fairly good schooling thing. I didn't have many rotten teachers come since junior high, so that was nice. Yeah, nothing really that vivid, I don't think.
Okay.
There was a time that our elementary school went into lockdown because they thought somebody was walking around outside with a shotgun.
That's pretty great. That
was in grade 6. Well, yeah, it was just after the Columbine shooting. So everybody was on edge about this kind of thing, you know, and it turned out to be nothing. So.
Yeah.
Then after that whole thing, they instituted lockdown drills every year. So you would do one, and you would practice what to do in the event of a intruder, which involved closing the door, pulling the blinds, hiding so you can't be seen, and barricading the door.
We have nothing like that at all.
There was even a specific There was even a specific all-clear alert code that would be broadcasted. It was something like a short beep, a long beep, and then another short beep.
Oh, my God.
And then
yeah, if you want to infiltrate New Zealand schools, you know, feel free. It'll be very easy.
Just you were trained not to use anything else as the all-clear, like if somebody...
For any serial killers who are listening.
Saying it was all-clear, you were trained not to believe that, so... Oh, there are special protocols and everything in place for that. But yeah, it's your turn now.
That's quite amazing. Not much really stands out off the top of my head for me. Okay. First, what I came up with while listening to you spieling, I got in primary school, like year five or something, second to last year or something like that. Close enough. When I fainted in front of my school while reading something out, while waiting for some other people, I was just standing there up the front of the assembly hall and fainted. And yes, that was painful at the time. Not really very scarring though. The rest of my school life. Oh, I had to give a speech. In intermediate school on the open day, that was fun because I stuffed up some word and I went bleh in front of. it was actually a good recovery, but it was a good speech. But I just remember it for some reason. Apart from that, high school is mostly a blur. I don't remember a lot from the first few years. The last year, of course, well, literally last year now, was probably the most special because I got to do a lot more things and I was up in front of the school quite often.
With your gun.
Giving talks and yes, because I can be so easily compared with Saddam Hussein. Yeah, and our school prize giving, I think, above all, last school prize giving.
MC'd that, didn't you?
Yep. That was fun. I so wanted to do that again.
I was going to ask you something about that, but never mind. And you haven't fainted in public like that again?
No, not since, no.
That's good.
I nearly did a few weeks ago, actually, but that wasn't in public.
Okay.
I say nearly, it's just like you get the feeling and you... Yeah.
Okay.
It's because I've had it happen so many times, it's just one of those things that's natural for me. You know how to react when that happens. Yeah. Anyway, people go, whoa,
bodily,
what's wrong with you?
Bodily control?
No, Shane.
That's good. I think that's it then.
Yep, that's it.
On that one.
Tech news. Thank you, Italy, for life.
Yes. Alrighty, Steve Jobs, take another leave of medical absence. People suspect this is related to his liver problems, seeing as last time he got a liver transplant. So there might be some kind of problem up with that again. Might be some immune thing associated with it, or it might be return of his cancer that he had the first go. And as a result...
Which is not good if it's liver-related.
Yeah, that's true.
That's quite dangerous, but...
And he apparently has asked Tim Cook to take over as his role while he is gone.
Especially given that this is like the third time, isn't it?
Yeah, the third time.
Mm.
So,
sound good.
People are worried this time, you know. But, you know, there is some profiling thing about this at Ars Technica. And basically, he has the people that are in command around him are able to do what he was able to do. For instance, as in being replaced right here, Tim Cook is the one who is in charge of all the execution of everything. So he does that part. There's Phil Schiller, which does the marketing, which it's probably already been going on before. Then he's also got the product designer, and then everybody else just kind of falls into line around that. So it's really nothing to be worried about. It's, I'd imagine. So just something to keep in mind of. And while we're talking about shuffling, we should just mention in passing that Google has a new CEO. Just so we're not appearing completely biased here. But, you know, I think it was Eric Schmidt that took over as CEO from, oh God, who was it? I should know this. Do you know?
No.
I don't know. But Google CEO Eric Schmidt. There we go. Next up, Duke Nukem Forever arriving May 3rd. Supposedly. The skies have opened, the gods have smiled, and 2K Games have announced an actual release date for Duke Nukem Forever.
You can tell we're really pressed for tech news this week.
Yeah, there really was nothing this week that major, aside from this. CES is gone, there's nothing really there. Microsoft isn't doing anything. Patch Tuesday was quiet. Service Pack 1 is in release candidate stage, just to roll up. OS 10, App Store, nothing much. Linux, quiet as always. So, yeah, pretty much sums up everything.
No, Linux is always a buzz, but no one's interested in that stuff.
Yeah, no one cares about it.
Thanks.
So, basically this game is the sequel to the Duke Nukem game available for Windows 95, I believe it was. And it was initially supposed to come out in 1997, but it was delayed many, many times, went through many restructurings, went through many different game engines, partly because of the management at the company who is developing it and designing it. So finally, it's got a home, and it's going to be coming May 3rd, available on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 3. So for any of you hardcore PC gamers out there, you will want to pick this up. I played the first version when I was, what, 8, probably? So.
Wow.
Yeah, and you would have been 5, so I doubt you'd have been playing this.
5? If you were 8, I would have been like 2.
Really?
When it was released, I might have been.
Oh, five. Right.
When was it released?
Oh, okay. 99? I don't know.
Oh, anyway.
I don't know. Let's see. Duke Nukem. Oh, okay. Duke Nukem 3D was the shooter game. Released January 29th, 1996.
Okay. Yeah, still would have been way too young.
I've got balls of steel.
That's from that game.
Oh, okay.
I've got balls of steel.
Not appropriate.
No, it's not. It was rated M back then, so it's clearly going to be rated M now. So.
And you played it when you were 8 years old? Shame.
Yes.
I see where you get your bad language.
I don't have bad language.
Excuse me? Who is the one who's sworn on this show this episode? And
I
have not.
Swear on this show this
yes,
episode?
You did. Yes, you
what
did.
What did I say?
You said the S word.
Oh.
Naughty Shane.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Well, I'm not going to go through and edit the show to remove the S word.
Okay. Going to put an explicit tag on it?
No, that's only for specific naughty cases.
All right, then. So we're done with Duke Nukem.
Yes. And then Stuxnet in the news again. A security analyst from the UK believes that it took 2 powers to create this virus that was in charge of sabotaging Iran's nuclear plants. Tom Parker, US-based security researcher who specialized in tracing cyber attacks, spent months analyzing the Stuxnet code and found evidence that the virus was created by 2 separate organizations. His evidence supported the claims of intelligence sources that it was a joint 2-step operation, which was most likely developed by a Western power, as they most likely provided it to a secondary power which completed the effort, he said. So you can think of this as somebody developing a payload and then somebody else developing the weapon to carry it. So the weapon being the poorly coded part, i.e. Stuxnet, and the payload being the actual code inside of it that would screw up the nuclear plants. So right now the leading guesses as to who created this are the US and Israel. Which, if it worked, then that's good. You know, I mean, it's much better than, I think, committing an army to go bomb Iran, you know?
I suppose so, yeah. It's still quite hostile, but...
But the thing is, nobody knew what was happening until after the damage was done.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So.
Anyway. I have one more thing to add to tech news this week. It's actually old news, but my dad brought it in to me while we were recording. This is in our newspaper, can you believe? World Digest. My internet blunder. United States. The father of the internet says the world is going to run out of internet addresses within weeks. I like how they call them internet addresses. And it will be all his fault. Google's Vint Cerf, who created the web protocol that connects computers globally, said he thought in 1987 that 4.3 billion web addresses would be enough, but there are only a few million left. And that is all.
Yeah, that's going to run out sometime soon, and we need to switch over to IP version 6. There's actually an IP version 6 day that's going to happen, in which server companies and big people like Microsoft and Google are going to be trying to encourage IP version 6 for a day just to see how it works.
Mm.
But yeah, we really do.
I mean, they're going to have to. Why not?
Yeah, and you know, IP version 6 is such a large address space. You could give everybody that's born their own IP address.
Yeah.
Which would be ideal in my view.
Mm.
So...
Anyway, I mean, that is old news. It's just...
Yeah, you're going to put something to add?
It's well documented that we have, for quite a long time now, known where the real problem is in the Middle East. And, in fact, the president adequately described it as the axis of evil. I guess my question is, how many times do we have to prove that these people are blowing up people now, never mind if they get a nuclear weapon... When do we send them an airmail message to Tehran?
That old Beach Boys song, Bomb Iran? Bomb, bomb, bomb. Anyway.
What is this? What was that?
That was John McCain.
Ah, okay.
In regards to Iran. There's even a website called McCainSings.com. Huh. Alrighty. Well, that's it for tech news. We are going to move right on now to some other things, including the Skill of the Month update. For January. Not much of a race going on in numbers 1 and 2 still. They have separated kind of...
Oh, damn. Here. They have to.
The Lion is winning with 3.5 million, while RS Gamer is in second with 2.7, and Range and God is still in third with 1.1 million. I mean, yes, 1.1 million. And then Kralox fourth with 1 million, and Rapidash with 897K in fifth. And then we still got a bit of races going on in those levels, so everybody keep racing. Hopefully RS Gamer will continue to get some XP, and hopefully it hasn't petered out. There are 11 days left in the month still, so you guys can still fight that out. I should get some Slayer XP. Haven't got any yet.
It's still kind of quite a close competition, at least between the other people. But
yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know how hard it would be to catch up 1.8 million Slayer if the Lion keeps going at his current rate, you know?
No, that is a bit much.
Yeah. So. Anyways, that'll be that. Next week, by the time you're hearing this, we'll have a new Skill of the Month that we are going to be announcing for February. Ready? Any bets on what it'll be?
No. Just keep it simple.
Okay. I guess it's my turn to have a pick this week. I'm going to preface this with what I told Chief here. It's not for Mac. It's not for Linux. It's for Windows only. And it's something that, if you're in school, you're going to enjoy using. It's called Microsoft Mathematics.
Well, basically, not necessarily enjoy, but...
Oh, really? That was the highlight of my week, finding this free software.
Yes.
But I looked on the iOS App Store, the Mac App Store, and didn't find anything similar. So basically what Microsoft Mathematics is it's a big graphing calculator that can do pretty much anything your school graphing calculator does and more, and it looks better too. So, you know, you buy these $120 TI graphing calculators or however much they are here, and you can get this for free. So, did you have to buy any graphing calculator for school?
I did, yes. And it was quite expensive.
How much was it?
That's right. Don't remember, though.
So, you could use this instead. It even has a tablet interface. So, if you've got a tablet, it can read your ink, and then it'll insert the right kind of symbols or whatever. It even recognizes pi.
Nice.
So, aside from this, it also has has advanced calculus and linear algebra features, such that if you wanted to, you could solve a matrix or derive an equation on your own, and it would actually show you the steps in order to do it, should you want that, but don't use that to cheat for homework. It also has the ability to solve polynomial equations. So say you have a very complex polynomial equation, it will solve it for you. And then you can constrain whether you want real answers or imaginary answers or both. So, yeah, that's what we got here. Microsoft Mathematics. Link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com.
Is it free?
Yes, it's free.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't free before, but it's free now.
I looked on the website and there was it gave me a download link, so I thought, yeah, I figured it was free. But then I went to some other link and it came up with some other thing about Microsoft Mathematics, and it said like buy now or download the trial. So I wondered.
Yeah, it was initially a pay thing, but now it's free.
Oh, okay. So interesting.
If you're a student and you're using Windows, this is a must have tool. Even I have it. I think it'll be my calculator of choice if Wolfram Alpha can't do it or if I need something more advanced. So, which is unfortunate, there's nothing for OS X or Linux. Well, I didn't look for Linux, but I assume there's not. So,
I don't know, though. You'd think that the Linux people would be the ones who would be interested in those kinds of things.
Yeah, but I don't know. If you take a search in the Ubuntu Software Center, does it come up with anything for graphing calculator?
I actually did try that. I typed in math, and it comes up with quite a few things, quite a few different things. I don't know how advanced they would be in comparison, but yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty advanced. It looks like it's using the solvers from Mathematica for free, which is an online service you can buy that already does the solving kind of thing. So
there is
definitely
an application for OpenOffice called OpenOffice Math, or LibreOffice Math, if that's what you've got. I don't know.
Isn't that... Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know what it does. There's Calc as well. Calc is the spreadsheet one, though. But Math is different.
Yeah, see, OS X has the calculator application, which is scientific. It also has a program called Grapher, which is for graphs, but Grapher doesn't have the option to solve equations or derive things, you know? So it's kind of limited in that fashion.
I think this does, but I have no idea how to use it. Not interested. Achievements of the week.
Yeah, that's enough math stuff, I guess. You can tell that we both like math here.
Well, to a degree. Get a degree.
Oh, that's a good one, to a degree. That's the second one that you pulled that I didn't get at first.
I didn't even get it myself at first, so that's how good I am at math jokes.
Achievements of the week. Only two this week from the 18th. First one being Dragonkin 892 with 99 fishing. Congratulations there.
Congratulations.
And
Gotham with 99 smithing, also on January 18th.
Come on, people. We need to get some more achievements here. Where's everybody getting 99? Looks like Dragonkin is, when I was looking at this, was going to be going for 97 rune crafting, along with Dave going for 97 mining. But come on, everyone else. You guys can get some good levels, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Didn't Dave get 97 mining or something?
Yeah.
So that was. Yeah. We don't say those anymore.
Well, we could, but I wasn't sure where to limit that, you know. But
Yeah, it's a bit arbitrary. Okay.
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
Oh, you don't want to go first?
No.
Okay. This week, primarily, it's been kind of a calm week, I guess you could say. Just doing some generic coding. Had an external hard drive enclosure die, which I need to replace. Wrote an article about building a Sandy Bridge gaming PC, which you can find at informer.rsbnb.com. Or on Twitter at RSBNB staff. Follow that. It's good stuff. You get your new content announcements right there.
Rather than having to wait.
We like Twitter. It's so much easier than Facebook.
Hell yes.
Saw the movie True Grit on Sunday. That was a good movie. It was just a Western. Plot was kind of flat. It was a typical Western, as you'd expect, but it was good for a change. You really don't see many decent movies anymore, so that was fun. Yeah, aside from that, not much. Been trying to do some butterfly catching still, which is kind of sad to play RS on OS X because it's horrible with the NVIDIA graphics, but that's a topic for another day. I think that's all I got.
Yep. What has Bradley been doing? I've not been doing too much.
Questing.
I did a little bit of work. What's that?
Questing.
Oh, questing. Oh, yes. Well, as far as RuneScape goes, yes, questing.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I forgot about RuneScape. Sorry, this is a RuneScape podcast. What am I thinking? So, yes, in RuneScape, I've been questing. What have I done since last time? Morning's Ends. Parts
crafting.
1 and 2, Spirit of Summer, a spot of crafting. Exactly. I made some blue dragon hide bodies, and I elked them this morning.
And you tanned them yourself.
I tanned them all myself, yes. It was a painful process. I don't want to go through that again. It was slower than I expected.
I've never done that before myself, so. Okay.
Yeah.
The life.
Kind of it. I don't know. I haven't done any coding. Life. What life? No, just a little bit of work earlier in the week, and I went to, where did I go? I went to a couple of birthday parties. Yeah. Been filling out paperwork. I feel so old.
Or
it sucks.
Paperwork?
Paperwork, yep. Heaps of paperwork for university stuff.
Oh, okay. I see.
That's all.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess in a nutshell, then, we've both had a pretty boring week then.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, boring, but not really boring. Oh, and I was reformatting computers. That was fun.
Oh, that's fun, isn't it?
Except it didn't work, but it was still fun. six actual installs of Windows 7. Jesus Christ.
On how many computers?
Anyway, it's a good experience. Two.
Oh, okay.
Six between two computers because it kept failing. But it was good. It actually gave me a chance to get into that computer and like take a few things out and pull things apart. That's always fun. That's the most exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is. You can't do that with a Mac.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. But that's us, really. Yeah.
Yeah. So that pretty much means that we're done for this week. It's been our BNB Update 292. We will see you guys both next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.